Take your seats. We just pray that for each of us here, we'll walk in freedom. That's what the Bible tells us, encourages us to do. Whoops. So last week, if you were not able to be with us or you were in the kids program, we launched M28, and I just want to take a moment just to reintroduce that and then just briefly share something that I think is important in the light of all that we've done this morning. So throughout the next 12 months in life groups right across, and all the life group leaders were introduced on the screen last week, there's going to be one theme that's continued in every life group, so it's going to be consistent right through all the time. There's 20 questions that we are asking as part of our personal discipleship journey. And you can see here, M28 isn't any sort of clever trick. It's Matthew 28, where Jesus says in verse 19, go and make disciples. So this is about discipleship, about becoming bigger people. So not only are we going to ask these questions in life groups across the city for the next 20 weeks, but also, as you leave the building today, you've got your own personal discipleship journey. Please take one of these. They're in reception there on a table, one of those and an envelope. And I think it's sort of obvious, this is for you and you only. These are the 20 questions that are going to be going through life groups, but these are for you to answer for yourself in the next 24 hours. And then put it in the envelope and put it somewhere in your house about your person, so that in sort of 12 months-ish time, you can look and say, I now in Christ, I'm a bigger person because my one has become a two, my three has become a four, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's going to be challenging. There are questions in there that are quite searching for us personally, but as they are discussed in life groups, we're producing videos with a short introduction of the theme and the question and how it's going to be worked out, and they'll be shown in each life group each time, and then chance to just discuss some of these questions and just see what God is doing in our lives and what we believe God wants to do. If you're not part of a life group, then last week and this week, all the life group leaders have got their own clipboard. And in refreshments afterwards, they're going to be carrying their clipboard like some real professional clipboard carrier. And if you're not part of a life group, we'd just like to invite you to go and grab one of those people and say, I want to be in a life group. Yours looks good. Do you have Victoria Sponge every time you meet? Because I want to be in that group. I'm talking personally here. So M28 is up, running, and we believe its significance for at least these next 12 months is going to be very powerful in your life and in the world in which you operate. So let me take us a step on from where we left it last week. Thanks, Gene. A quote from Dallas Willard, who is a Christian philosopher. I just read this the other day. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. I want to just take a few minutes and elaborate a little story out of the Bible and give us a little bit of a fresh take on this. So follow me just for a few minutes here and get an idea of what was going on in the story that I'm going to recount to you. So this is it. It's on the screen. Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up onto a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking. Listen to this, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and began to sink, and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? This is just one of those incredible, stunning stories in the Bible that we can sort of picture in our minds and marvel at, and perhaps at times think, oh, I would have liked to have been there to actually witness that in real time. And yet, where I want to take it for a few moments this morning has got real deep significance for you and I within the context of M28, being disciples of Christ and really allowing the image of God to take hold of our lives. So try and picture the story that I've just read to you. And let's just ask the question for a moment, then elaborate on it. What was Peter thinking when he stepped out of the boat? To answer that question, we need to understand a little bit of history and background to this that hopefully will bring it into a rich context. Because you see, every Jew, every Hebrew, they believed without any shadow of doubt that the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it is the law, it's known as the law. That means it's foundational for operation. It's educational. It helps us both socially and in every way to live our lives. Jewish education began at this point at about 6 years of age. Go to school between the years of 6 and 10, every child would have to get this, learn the Torah by heart. Geography is suddenly easy, isn't it? They would have to learn the Torah by heart. Once they got to about the age of 10, 11, then most of them, if not the majority of them, would begin to start in the family business. So in Jesus' case, the son of a carpenter. Those that showed a bit more aptitude to want to learn a little bit more around that age then would go a bit further. They'd go beyond the Torah into what we know as the Old Testament, the Psalms, the prophets. And they would continue to learn and take that on board to about the age of about 14. At the age of 14, that's the big drop-off point, where by now you're an adult. You know, for the boys, bar mitzvah's happened. You're in the family business. You're considered an adult to earn your keep and all that sort of idea. So then the vast majority would then go out to work and be in the family business. However, if you were considered the best of the best of the best, you would be invited to go and be sort of interviewed, I guess we'd call it, by one of the rabbis. These rabbis, each of course, were guys who discipled others in their understanding of the Bible. It's known as their yoke. And you read that word a few times, certainly in the New Testament, and Jesus referred to it. Nothing to do with agriculture. It's about the understanding. Just like, when I preach here, I am giving to you my understanding of what I believe the Bible is saying. And others may have a different, slightly different take on what is being said there. That is their yoke, their understanding. So the best of the best suddenly would go and sit with a rabbi. They would be interviewed. This rabbi needs to know that Mark has got all that's needed to be able to come and sit around me and follow me and go on. If the rabbi was impressed by this and thought this guy could be one of his followers, he would say these incredible words that you've never heard before. He would say, come, follow me. Heard that before? And the idea being not just that you would come and sit and I would educate you and talk to you as a rabbi, but actually that you would follow me, that we would live in harmony together, that not only would you listen to my understanding and take it on board, but you also would live the life that I was living. And there was a phrase that was bandied around, and this is it. When you got to that closeness, the best of the best of the best, the phrase would be used, may the dust of the rabbi fall upon you. With that understandable and clear image that you were so close that as your rabbi walks forward and kicks up the sandy dust that's around in the Middle East there, some of that would obviously settle upon you, on your clothes, on your body. But a phrase that was much deeper than just you're dusty and you need a shower, but actually you're so close to the rabbi that the dust is actually falling upon you. So, let's get back to the story. Peter and Andrew, fishermen, not the best of the best. They've not been invited to go and sit at any rabbi's feet. But Jesus got a bit of a different take on this. Because he goes to them and they understand all that I've just explained. And as a rabbi who now was getting known and understood and listened to, they're in the family business. They've got on with what the majority are getting on with. But he comes up to them and he says those words, come, follow me. What's going on in their minds when he says that? Because they understand the system and they are considered, I don't know if rejects is the word, but you know, they are not the ones who should be having this said to them. And yet this rabbi who's causing all this mayhem around is suddenly saying to them, come and follow me. Come and learn what I know and be like I am. In fact, get to the point where you want to do what I am doing. The fascination of that is, then when you go into Acts chapter 4, a verse that we use a lot of the time that makes even richer sense, it says that the crowds looked on them and said, these are unschooled, Acts 4, ordinary men. They are relating all back to this system we've talked about, but took note that they had been with Jesus. Some of that dust has settled on these guys and they understand something of what's going on. And Jesus says to them, come follow me. Don't just hear what I'm saying. Live as I live. Do as I do. So back to the story. Peter's looked and he's watched. He's got a little bit of a handle on what this Jesus is like. So he sees Jesus walking on the water. And this isn't some stupid statement. This is a disciple who's got the dust on him saying, not only have I learned what you've taught me, I want to do what you do because that's what this is all about. So when he says, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus says, come, you can do what I do. And Peter thinks, yeah, this isn't just some trick that's going to stun congregations for years to come. I want to follow my rabbi. I want to have the dust on me. I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh. It's not in the script, man. So he gets out of the water, he walks. And he says he looks round and he sees the mayhem around, the wind and the waves, and he panics and begins to sink. And Jesus takes him by the hand and pulls him up. And this sounds almost a bit aggressive, but actually, I've been sort of reading this wrong part for a long time. Jesus says, you know, oh, you of little faith. What is he talking about? Is he talking about faith in God, or is he perhaps going back to these discipleship moments and saying, have you got confidence in you to do what I'm doing? Wow, there's a challenge. That's not denying at all having faith in God and being able to do the miraculous thing. But actually, there's a depth and a richness to it when you think that actually, you know, Jesus is challenging Peter. He's not telling him off and giving, oh, mate, couldn't you come a few steps further? No, he's saying, Peter, we've called this together. You're learning the ways. You're trying. I get what you've done here. You've stepped out of the boat because you want to do what I do. You want to model the life that I'm living. So have confidence, because this isn't just about your confidence in me. This is about my confidence in you. Whoa! So when Jesus says in John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you. We love to say it. We love to quote it. In the context of the first century hearers of that statement, they got it, and Peter and Andrew and the other disciples understood completely and utterly what was being said there. You may not have been the best of the best of the best, but that does not matter one iota. Come, follow me, and I will make you. And Peter's got a bit of a hold of that. I want you, Jesus, and your life to be lived in me. You're walking on water. I'm walking on water. And Jesus, with a smile on his face, not with a, says, come on, Peter. We can do this. You can do this. Because beyond here, when I'm gone, you've got to carry this baby on. And I won't be physically right beside you there to pick you up or do whatever. But through my spirit residing inside you. And as I hear that, and that's pretty much it, I think, Jesus, yeah, I want to be dusty. I want to follow the way that you have led. I want to be able to live the life that you have lived. So may your dust settle on me. And may I not just realize that it's about having faith in you, but I want to appreciate the fact that you've got faith in me, even me, to carry this kingdom and this message forward into a needy, desperate world. And Jesus says, come on, Steve, get out of the boat. Take a few steps. If you sink, don't worry, I'll pick you up. But have some confidence in the fact that I am putting my confidence in you to live the life that I've called you to live. We're not straining towards it, with every sinew. But actually, we're just resting in the ability of God, knowing that we're surrounded by sin, knowing that all of that ugliness affects our lives. Of course it does. But in the middle of it all, just like Jesus did, we can walk a life that is free and right and an advert to the world around. I want that. That's what M28 is all about. And I just invite you, I'll leave it at that. I think we've all got the message. I just want to invite you in this moment, clinically, with no deep emotion or nice music in the background. You want the dust of the rabbi to settle on you. I'm the first here. I'm standing. Stand with me. Wow, look at that. Wow. Jesus. Let me encourage you, if you've not picked up the sheet, do it, because it will help you to achieve what you're standing here for. And if we had a screen here with Jesus doing some FaceTime with us right now, I think he would be smiling and looking at each of us and going, yes, come on. Come on, guys. Let that dust settle on you. Let's step out of the boat. Let's be the people that I've called you to be. Oh, Jesus. I'll be quiet for 30 seconds, and in that 30 seconds, just pray your own prayer of dedication to God. Your own words, just saying, I give my life to you. May your dust settle on me, and may I live the life you've called me to live. You just pray that now. And so, Lord, we surrender our lives to you this morning. Take us, use us, challenge us, call us to walk where you walk, to speak how you speak. May we not be disciples just in name only, but may our actions fully replicate the model that you set when you lived on this earth amongst people surrounded by sin and all the various quirks of human nature that displayed themselves around you. You lived the life that you lived, and we want to shape and model that in our world, in our family, in our home, in our workplace, amongst this congregation of people. God, may you truly be seen in our lives and through our lives. Jesus, yeah.